Thank you for listening to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Please support the show by subscribing to and leaving a 5-star rating for the show on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Podbean, SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, and any of your favorite podcast platforms. You can also support the show by going to our website, blackandgoldhockey.com, where there's always exciting articles by the BNG writing staff. While you're there, don't forget to click on the fanatics.com banner for a great sports fan shopping experience.
Are you done yet? We gotta start the show.
Bobby Orr, behind the net, the center, and Orr! Bobby Orr! Scores from the Boston Bruins!
30 seconds left in the period. The Bruins are shorthanded. Ray Bourque.
From the face-off circle to the right of Reggie Whitman, flying it down, and Whitmore blew it.
Did he ever?
Marshall to Bergeron on the drive, save, rebound is loose. Sagan kicks him loose. Bergeron scores.
Hey, Bruins fans, welcome back to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. We're recording on April 18th, 2021, and this is episode 224, sponsored by betonline.ag. Please go to betonline.ag and use code CLNS50, that's CLNS50, to receive yourself a sweet sign-up bonus after you make your first deposit. I am host Mark Allred. I am flying solo today because things didn't exactly work out as planned. I was going to have a guest, and he couldn't make it at the 11th hour, and I asked somebody else, and obviously they had plans, so I'm just winging it today, so bear with me, please. I certainly appreciate it. Before we get into the topics, I do want to talk about show sponsor betonline.ag. Betonline.ag has the fastest and easiest ways to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, golf, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline.ag even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline.ag has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, folks. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code CLNS50, that's CLNS50, to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. As always, we thank BetOnline.ag for being our sponsor. They've been with us for a good 2 years now, maybe 2.5, and what a great relationship. And I use them for my betting too, so I'm not a very good bettor, but I bet safely. I don't like go absolutely crazy, but I do like to play a props once in a while. I get a little crazy with those, but if you win one prop bet, it basically covers for the losses on a couple others that you might have made. But we do have a couple topics we're going to go over. It's probably going to be a very quick pod today, but this is the first episode that I've talked on the pod since the trade deadline happened, and what a swing and a home run for Boston Bruins general manager Don Sweeney. Really came out with this one to address needs at scoring, address needs the gritty area of today's game, especially when it comes to the playoffs, and address a need for a left shot defenseman that I just had no idea anything about. I knew about Curtis Lazar, the forward. I knew how gritty he can be, and so on, and an impactful player, you know, but I just didn't know much about Riley, and he's certainly came into these games, his first as a Black and Gold member, and really showed something. All three of them really have made impacts. I mean, Taylor Hall was a little, seemed a little bit uncomfortable, but it was probably just, you know, to stretch his legs. But later on, when you got some more time together, you seem to really get comfortable. So positive things from the trade deadline. Does this move the needle for me as like a lot of people are basically, you know, saying that this could be a Stanley Cup team? I don't know yet. We do have like, I think there's 13, 14 games remaining in the regular season in 2021. So there's still a lot of time to grow. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, we definitely have to get better on the power play. Definitely have to get better on 5-on-5 scoring. And if you can increase that grittiness and so on, you can use this as these last like dozen games as a catalyst for like a preseason, you know, leading up to the playoffs. And you know, the games last week were impressive, I must say. I mean, I didn't expect this to happen, but with these three additions and their immediate impacts, as I said before, have just like moved the needle a little bit, but I'm not going to go crazy and call the Stanley Cup. But we are sitting in the fourth position of a playoff spot, so things are looking good, and we're starting to get some points, you know, pointing in the north direction up the standing. So hopefully it gets better. But there were four games last week, and one of them I really tough one to talk about because there was no defense. We had to call up a few players. Jack Eichel came up and it wasn't his fault. It's nobody's fault. Injuries suck. It is what it is. But the on April 11th, this was Sunday night after we recorded episode 223 of the Black Gold Hockey Podcast, the Bruins played the Washington Capitals, and they lost 8-1. Craig Smith with the only Bruins goal, his eighth of the season on the power play. Vladar got the start, stopping 25 of 33 shots, and he was in for all eight goals. Feel bad for the kid, but this is the NHL, man. It's going to have ups and downs, so you're going to have to learn the good times and the bad times and not, you know, frustrate yourself and not go on a, you know, eradicate in your head and so on. So tough loss. Just feel bad and all the way around. But as the week went on, it got better. I mean, I wanted to see a more impactful game against the Buffalo Sabres on April 13th, which was a Tuesday night against Buffalo. You know, getting beat by the Capitals by that bad, having a day of rest. I thought that there was time enough for Bruce Cassidy to get into these players' heads and say, you know, you really need to, you know, up your game a lot more, especially against a team like Buffalo, who's struggled this year. They have been doing better lately, but still they're south of any playoff expectations. And this Boston Bruins team, just I really wanted them to like hammer them, you know. I mean, you know, you got your foot on the neck, don't let up. But unfortunately, that's not the way it came out. The Bruins win in a shootout courtesy of a Jake DeBrusk individual effort to seal the 2 points. David Krejci, he scored his third. I probably wrote that wrong. And Craig Smith got his ninth in regulation. Jeremy Swayman got the start and the shootout victory, stopping 21 of 23 shots. And I like what Jeremy Swayman after, because everybody, most Bruins fans, they really just, when they see the shootout, it's pretty much like, you know, that's it. Wash the hands and call it a night. But no, Jeremy Swayman was really good. And afterwards, he mentioned that he loves shootouts. He loves the challenge. So that's good to see. Hopefully that calms the blood pressure of so many out there that are not shootout fans and know the trend that the Boston Bruins aren't fans either, because they hardly win. But that's a good start to, you know, further on in the week. The Sunday game, you know, you look past that. You get the 2 points against the Buffalo Sabres. But the biggest surprise for me was later on in the week. It was a two-game series on Thursday night and Friday night against the New York Islanders, a team that the Boston Bruins have just not been able to handle. All five games this season since they started in mid-January have gone to, all the 2 points have gone to the New York Islanders, and they've been playing well. They've deserved each win. They've been basically the better team, even though the Boston Bruins have played some decent games to get back, show signs of life. But it was just not a complete 60-minute effort, in my opinion. When you're battling a team like that, especially this year, because the Islanders are a wagon. But on April 15th, which is the Thursday night, the Bruins and Islanders, the Bruins won 4-1. Brad Marchand scored his 20th and 21st. Craig Smith scored his 10th. And newcomer Taylor Hall gets his first goal in black and gold. Tuukka Rask made his return to the lineup after missing almost 4 weeks to get the win, stopping 22 of 23 shots. And this was Rask's first game since March 25th when he left the, a game against the Islanders in after the first period, making six saves. And that's pretty much when the whole injury thing happened. And we didn't see him for a while, but he's back and he looks good so far. So big win on Thursday night, but Friday night, April 16th, you know, it's a back to back and I don't know. I'm kind of going on the trends that the Bruins don't necessarily play the second game of a back to back on a real high. It's more of a tired game. Let's do what we can, and you know the schedule sucks. You get it. There's so many back to back this year. It's a condensed 56 game season. So, but the Boston Bruins came to play this one too. Took advantage of everything and really buckled down to sweep this two straight games in as many days against the New York Islanders. And the Bruins win 3-0 and get the second victory of the season against the Isles, who still lead the Bruins 5-2 in 2021 in the regular season. David Pastrnak scored his 17th of the season. Taylor Hall scored his fourth and second goal in consecutive games since joining the Bees. Curtis Lazar scored his first as a Bruin on an empty netter, and that wrapped it up. Boston Bruins goaltender Jeremy Swayman has just been unbelievable this year. He stopped all 25 Islander shots for his first career NHL shutout. Sway is now 4-1-0 in five games played and has a 1.78 goals against average and a .938 save percentage. So things are really looking good for the Boston Bruins' future right now as he's getting NHL experience and. You know, as we're waiting to see here what's happening with Yaroslav Halak. We know he's in the COVID protocol. Heard on Saturday that he could be ready to go by Monday, so which would be good to get, you know, your goaltender back. But it's not a bad thing to have another goaltender like Swayman or Vladar in the background if needed for that break glass in case of emergency scenario. So good stuff last week. You know, I mean, the homestand continues and, you know, you win three or four games. That's solid. So they just got to keep the consistency going. They have the Washington Capitals coming up on Sunday, April 18th. That's an afternoon game. I'm recording this, in the morning. So it's kind of tough to, talk about that one, but that particular, game, recap will be on episode 225 as we start a new week. But they do play the Capitals on Sunday, and they have three straight games against the Buffalo Sabres this week to round off the week conversation when it comes to the schedule. They play Tuesday night, and then they play Thursday and Friday again. So these points have to be, you know, last week they won in a shootout. This Boston Bruins team needs to take advantage of this team and how depleted they are. I know we have our own injuries and our own problems, but we got a nice little winning streak going here. You know, so there's no reason why you cannot take advantage of those three games that week. Washington's going to be a tough test. It always is. But just the way that things have been playing and working out so far with the new guys since the trade deadline, I have confidence that the Boston Bruins will get a big win. And Tuukka Rask will be in net. I know he did take the Friday off. It didn't even wasn't even on the bench as Vladar was the backup to Swayman and his 3-0 shutout. So, you know, things are coming around. I mean, we're starting to get a little bit healthier. I'd expect you hear something from Brandon Carlo soon, sometime this week. He might even get into a game against Buffalo. Who knows? But, you know, you could tack away at that injury list a little bit as we get closer to the end of the season and get ready for the playoffs, hopefully. So Sunday morning, Logan Mullen of Nesson wrote an article about what's going on with Trent Frederick. Frederick had missed a little time with non-COVID illness, but he's now in healthy scratch territory. And I find that a little bit concerning, but I like what he said, though. The lineup has kind of settled in, and as a coach, I don't mind changing a lineup while we're winning. If I feel it will help us be better, for example, a guy coming in off an injury or whatnot. But for right now, I think that where Freddie would go in would probably be on the fourth line, and they've done a good job for them. No line is perfect. Don't get me wrong, but I think every player in that forward line group has helped us win this week, pertaining to the four games last week, or the three that they actually won. And the line's starting to find their way a little bit. So it's more or less just, it's not nothing that Freddie's doing wrong. It's one of those situations that the coach is, it's hard to take somebody out of this lineup with this current three-game winning streak going into at the TD Garden against the Capitals on Sunday afternoon. So I can't blame a coach for not wanting to do that. I mean, I'm a Frederick fan, so I would like to see him in the lineup sooner or later. Maybe give some guys some rest as they're getting geared up for a playoff run, hopefully. But you know, I'm completely agreeing with the coach at this point. I think this team is, you know, if there was a loss of grit factor, he might be a benefiting factor to get in that lineup and cause some havoc and try to knock the other team, you know, off the game and so on. But right now it's being done by committee. You know, you have your Brett Richies out there who's doing a fantastic job on both sides of the puck. He's, you know, the net front presence for him has been good. And his response to some hits that might be borderline have been good too. So just an all-around player that is doing the job right now. And you know, there's other teammates that have stepped up in situations like that. So I'm not overly worried about where Frederick's at right now, but, you know, I don't want this to obviously ruin any confidence that he has, but just continue to work hard and be ready at a moment's notice if needed. But, you know, continue to think that Frederick is going to be a real player next year while some there's roster availability. You know, there might be some departures. You know, you might even see Sean Corrali walk to free agency, much like the trend recently with the Noel Acharis and the Tim Schialas. When those guys are asking for a certain amount of money, the Bruins don't want to pay, a certain number. You know, if they're asking for $3 million, the Bruins can walk because there's plug and plays that you can definitely do down in Providence. And if Corrali walks, I mean, to me, Oscar Steen is probably just a perfect candidate to take that spot. He could play the right side. He could play center. So, I mean, there's so many small moves that you can do in the bottom nine. So, sorry, bottom 12 numbers. They suck. So we'll see what happens with Freddie. I'm not overly worried about it. But like I said, if we needed that grit and we were just, you know, that prototypical soft team, or air quotes that one, I could see him getting back on the lineup to add that kind of dimension. But right now it's pretty much in Logan's article that he wrote for Nesson this morning. It's just one of those things that it's so hard to take somebody out of the lineup right now to get him in there. So I'm completely with it. Next topic, do the Bruins have a goalie controversy? And more or less, this is just, I don't know. I kind of drew it up. It's kind of drawn up from the fans, in my opinion. You have a lot of fans out there that are saying, you know, what they're seeing in Jeremy Swayman. And don't get me wrong, I am absolutely loving this. This kid has deserved every opportunity he's getting. But let's be real here. He would only be up here. He's only up here, and Vladar is getting time too because of what's going on with injuries. If there wasn't any, if Tuukka Rask was healthy and playing well, and Yaroslav Halak was healthy and not COVID crap and playing well, I don't believe we'd see Jeremy Swayman or Dan Vladar. I believe that they'd get a bunch. They'd be splitting a lot of time down in Providence in this 26 game regular season that's over six games from now. So pretty much in the next couple weeks, that that Providence year is over, and we don't know what's going to happen with playoffs. So you might see more, taxi squad members. Who knows? I'm not sure about the limit on the taxi squad. I'm not an expert at all that. I just, more or less, I want to see him get the experience, but I also, let's hold the phone on keeping him up here and resting a veteran. Riding the hot hand, I get it. I totally get that. But for me, it's just, let's take a one step at a time. We have something really good here in this tandem. And if they stick together, next year, I think it'd be great for a full season. I don't know. There's so many rumors out there. Bob McKenzie said something about on national TV too, by the way. It was a Bruins game that the Bruins are interested in retaining Rask and Halak from minimal contracts. So I don't know about that. Has how they played now like really changed the minds of the future? Or and there's a lot of experts that I hear on podcasts and writers like Ty Anderson said on 98.5, the hockey show this weekend or earlier this week, that, you know, he thinks that both Vladar and Swayman should get another year and we should get some vets in here. Let's not rush this, but there's so many different opinions about what's going on right now. But for me, I kind of want to retain Rask for another year or two. And possibly get one of these kids in, but it's only going to be at a 41-game season. If you can't play him 41 games, put him down in Providence and get him the games that he needs. If not, just go out and get a cheap veteran or re-sign Halak. It's so many. I think Halak will take the same money, maybe even less. Maybe you throw an offer at $2 million, I guarantee he'll bite on it. You know, this is probably his last or soon-to-be last year in the NHL, so any little extra is just good for the retirement fund and for his family. So we'll see what happens. But I don't want to call it a full controversy. I know some people have brought it up in articles and topics and in radio shows. I heard Felger mention it, so I thought I'd mention it today. But I don't think there is a controversy. I think that the Bruins are heavily relied on veteran net minding, especially when it comes to playoffs, because there's a comfort level there when you know you've had a certain member of the team that's been in a situation like this. Not saying this Tuukka Rask has won a gold Stanley Cup on the ice, but as a supporting member, yes, he is a winner. He is a Stanley Cup winner. So I would ride the hot hand and be patient with the goaltenders ahead, because we don't want to see what's going on with Carter Hart. I know I beat that like a dead horse every week, it seems, but we'll see what happens. But anyway, let's hear from the great folks at Blue Chew, and then we'll get right back to the topics. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as a Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets combat all forms of ED and can help men gain extra confidence when it's time to perform. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at bluechew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Blue Chew is a chewable tablet. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they're prepared and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than any pharmacy. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit bluechew.com for more details and important safety information. And we've got a special deal for our Black and Gold Hockey Podcast listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code Black and Gold, all capitalized, Black and Gold, at checkout, and just pay $5 for shipping. That's bluechew.com, promo code Black and Gold, all capitals, to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. And we're back after hearing that ad read from the great folks at Blue Chew. Truly appreciate having them aboard. Hopefully we can continue to get more contracts from them and keep, you know, passing the word along, because they're a great bunch of folks to work with, and we love them. So, next topic on the agenda is Bruins Craig Smith has been on fire lately, getting his early season struggles as a first time Bruin away from him. It was frustrating to watch, but it gave the benefit of the doubt. You're in a new system, a new team, new environment. You know, it's going to take time. But now what we're seeing, I'm seeing a very comfortable Craig Smith. We're seeing secondary scoring from Craig Smith, which is constantly talked about in post-game pressers and in articles and so on. So having these members in layers is so important to this Boston Bruins team as they, you know, try to accomplish a goal of winning a Stanley Cup again. Whether they get there, who knows, but this is something that you can build on. And with these new additions in the past week, it's just going to get better. I mean, those second layers are going to get better. You're not going to rely on the first line all the time with Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak. You know, you have the Krejcis who's on a three-game point streak right now with his new lineup, and Taylor Hall's making some points too. I think he's got more points now than he did in 38 games with Buffalo. So it's positive things to see. But it's interesting when you look at Smith's stats, and you know, not saying that he was playing terrible. But, you know, there might have been that, like, comfort level. Like, this is all new to me. We're all still learning together, trying to create some chemistry. But Smith went, had 4 goals, 5 assists, 9 points in his first 26 games of the 2021 regular season. And now has 6 goals, 10 assists, 16 points in his last 15 games. So he's definitely awoken the point production. More or less, he is a point per game player right now, which is huge. So now you just have so many options right now and I like Smith on the second line. I would leave him right there and not move him at all. Let's keep the, you know, if you keep the top two the same and work with your bottom, work with your third line of Charlie Coyle, who has passed the 20 game mark without a goal. That's tough to see. But still an important member here, still a puck possession master, but still you want that extra level of offensive production, and he can do it. We all know that he has the skill. The skill set's there. He just got to get some shots on net. Maybe not be that pass first type of guy, but take a chance. You know, I mean, so many things can happen when you just put the puck on net, especially when you have net front presence there for a tip or a second opportunity off of a rebound. But it's really good to see Craig Smith coming around. I mean, now the deal, you know, coming in as a free agent, signs a 3-year deal, I believe, which is very friendly, and is producing. So, and it's good to see him playing at an intense level. I'm not saying that he wasn't earlier in the season, but you could see the comfort level is definitely coming through with this player. And, you know, sneakingly good free agent signing. You know, we do need that. We have been looking for that right wing over and over and over again. And I think with this one, we have found it. So good on him. Next topic. What can we expect from David Krejci moving forward? I did touch on him a little bit. With new line mate Taylor Hall, as he has a point in every game last week since Hall's arrival. He had a goal versus Buffalo and an apple in each game versus the Islanders. So he goes into Washington on Sunday with a 3-game point streak and just, to me, seems rejuvenated. You know, I mean, is this the preseason that we're seeing of playoff Krejci? We've seen playoff Krejci in the past, and it's been good. It's a point producer in the postseason, and you need that. I'm constantly going to say that we got to get the power play better. We got to get 5-on-5 scoring better, but you got to get scoring in layers, because if you can't win it with just your front line and you're not physical enough and you're not putting the puck in the net, it's not good results, especially in the postseason. So we'll see what happens with that. But David just seems to, you know, I might be a little early on this, but we might have found the winger that David Krejci needed since the departure of Milan Lucic and Nathan Horton from back in the day, and how good those guys were they were bigger forwards, more rugged forwards, and so on. But with this line, I mean, Craig Smith's a rugged guy, but he's got some awesome offensive skills. Taylor Hall isn't so rugged, but he's got some offensive skills and so on. And I think that the way that Krejci slows down the game will complement Taylor Hall's game as well, because he's also not just he's known as a slower player, more of like the Krejci type of game. But last week we saw it in his first goal. You know, really gathered some speed together, protected the puck really good, and got into the net to get a shot off. So for his first goal, which was awesome. So good on him, good on that line, and you know, it's nice to have your top six just real clicking together. And this, like I said, it's a really good time with 13 or 14 games remaining. Why don't we hear from the awesome Bruce Sullivan from Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia. He's a gentleman where I buy all the jerseys, hand-signed jerseys, for our Patreon giveaway. If you want to get involved in the Patreon giveaway, please go to patreon.com/blackandgoldhockeypodcast and donate $1 per episode. But let's hear from him. He's got some fantastic stuff, some news about a signing that's coming up in May, which is a real important one. I can't wait for this one because I'm going to buy a jersey. And we have jerseys out till January 2022. So we're giving away one every month, and we give away a Bruins item every week here. So I buy stuff from Fanatics. I buy signed pictures all the time. So we're giving away a Gary Doak puck today. So stay tuned to the end of the show for that. But in the meantime, let's hear from Mr. Bruce Sullivan, and we'll be right back.
Hello, Bruins fans. This is Bruce Sullivan from Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia with our Black and Gold Memorabilia Moment of the Week. Announcing the Jerry Cheevers and Terry O'Reilly sale. Get a JSA authenticated black style or white style Cheevers or O'Reilly jersey for just $79, and free shipping on all Bruins jerseys continues. Score a Johnny Busick jersey for just $89, Rick Middleton for $89, Phil Esposito from $99, or Brad Park for $169, or grab the Bobby Orr GNR authenticated gold style jersey for just $329. Speaking of Orr, get a Bobby Orr autographed GNR authenticated puck for $149, or score with Orr's Ultimate Orr 28 by 30 inch Ultimate autographed numbered edition shadow box with custom matting and framing for just $379. How about the 22 by 26 inch The Goal Special Edition for $279? Or your choice of Bobby Orr 8 by 10 photos for just $129. For more information on our dozens of Bruins hand signed pieces and your chance to win free memorabilia each week, check us out at our Facebook page, Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia, or email us directly at bostonsportsandmusic@gmail.com. And be sure to tune in each week right here to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Let's go!
All right, we are back. We just heard from the awesome Bruce Sullivan from Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia. Fantastic stuff. Oh, my God, the Bobby Orr stuff that he has, the Phil Esposito stuff, and the signing that's happening next month is just awesome news. So I'm looking forward to all that. And thanks again to Bruce for doing the commercials here at the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast and everything he does for, giving me a good deal on buying jerseys for our giveaways. So thanks again to Bruce Sullivan. Please contact him through the email that he provided and check out the Facebook page. And he's always posting something. If you like and share it, you get entered into win a free drawing every week. So it's a great little thing that he does, and really happy to be working with him, and I hope we can continue this in the future because he's very professional in his mid show commercial. So All right. Here's a topic real quick before we get into my my Bruins minor pro update, talk about the Providence Bruins a little bit before we end the show. This is a really interesting conversation. Is Bruins forward Brad Marchand a Hart Trophy candidate? He has 21 goals, 29 assists, 50 points in 40 games played. And he's got an NHL career of 311 goals, 385 assists, 696 points in 791 games played. He has a fun stat about Mr. Brad Marchand. He has not produced a point in 95 career NHL games in almost 800 total games. That's pretty amazing. I mean, he's got 696 points in 791 games. So that is just a and I would absolutely consider him. I would like to see him nominated. I'm not sure if he'll get it because it's probably going to go to some other face of the league. But let's talk about Brad Marchand and his career. And it just seems to me he's getting better as he ages. He's like the fine wine, you know. And it's good to see. He's still a fast player, stop on a dime, good on the power play. You kind of the takeaways and the giveaways and so on, you know, the sauce in the backhand. Those are frustrating times, but all players, you know, they have some misfortunes. But he makes up for it in the way he plays. His gritty style, his get under your skin freaking tactics. But also on the score sheet, he's doing it. And he's just creating more and more space, getting closer to, you know, higher point producers that have been in the Boston Bruins organization in the past. So good on Brad Marchand. And absolutely, I would like to see him nominated. And if he won, that'd be great. It's just it'd be good for him and his confidence and so on. He has turned a leaf. He's been a better player, not so controversial with the hits, you know, the suspensions and this and that. And, you know, he's a better player on the team and not watching from a ninth floor somewhere. So while he's suspended. So I'm a huge fan of Marchmont, and I'm going to call him that until the day I die, because my friend Liz loves it. And the way I'm not sure if you guys know the story, but when he came up through the league, somebody called in 98.5 and just said, they were picking on him. They're like, who is this little Marchmont kid? And they didn't understand that it wasn't Marchmont, it was Marchand. So I kind of took the ball and rolled with that for a couple of years. So my friend Liz, who is also a blackgoldhockey.com writer, enjoys it. So shout out, Liz. And thanks for all your hard work, too, by the way. Let's go to my minor pro update. The Providence Bruins continue to be a wagon. They are leading the Atlantic Division. It's a three-team division. There's like really no contest. You still got to do what you got to do. It's a way to develop. But the Providence Bruins are just in 19 games played. They have 14 wins, 4 losses, 1 overtime loss. They have 29 points. They are currently on a 1-game winning streak. They're 7-2-1 in their last 10. And they are 8 points ahead of second place Hartford Wolfpack, who has 10 wins, 7 losses, and 1 overtime loss. And 20 points ahead of third place Bridgeport Sound Tigers, who have 4 wins, 13 losses, and 1 overtime loss. So this division, just they're just running away with it and playing very well. So let's talk about the last week's action. Yeah, so there's one game this week, and the Providence Bruins beat the Utica Comets 6-1. A very rare out-of-division game between these two clubs. And just to say that about Providence, they just, you know, Bridgeport, Hartford, Bridgeport. I mean, that's all you've seen this year. So many people at BNG that cover the Providence Bruins, the American Hockey League, just are so tired of saying Bridgeport and Hartford. But it was nice to see Utica, and it was really nice to see them getting in game action, because that Vancouver Canucks team in NHL has just taken a real beating on the chin with the COVID stuff and the different variant. I'm not really good at, you know, what it's called, the Brazilian variant, whatever. But it's seemingly the COVID issues have gone down to the Utica Comets, and they've only played in maybe a dozen games this year. While everybody else is pretty much done with this season. It's been real unfortunate, but the fortunate thing is they got back and they're doing it. They're making the best out of it. So they did get into a game against the Providence Bruins. This was on Friday, April 16th, 2021 at the New England Sports Center. And the Utica Comets came to play in the first period. I thought it was going to be a blowout. Both teams were playing really good. They were, you know, back and forth action, trying to feel each other out to see who made that first mistake. And I believe the Providence Bruins were the ones that made the mistake, because a majority of the first period was just owned by Utica. And Brady Lyle, the new defenseman out of Owen Sound attack in the Ontario Hockey League, a free agent signing, a sneaky scouting job by the team. And getting this guy, and Mark Diver actually mentioned that there's some talks that some teams are really interested in talking to him during the off season. If the Bruins walk away from you know, not retaining him or not signing him to a two-way deal, he's on an AHL deal, an AHL only deal right now. So if he signs with the Bruins, it'll be a two-way deal. He might stick around. He knows the system. Jay Leach is a proponent of you know, filtering the system down and showing the younger players down in Providence what they pretty much do in Boston. So if he wants to stick around, that's great, because he'd be a solid addition. He's a real hard worker, and with him and Jack Eichon, I still think that they can like compete for like the best defensive pairing in the league, in my opinion. Heavily biased because I cover the Providence Bruins, but on the regular, but whatever. But Brady Lyle gets the Bruins on the board after being down 2-1 at the 19:25 mark, 30 seconds to go and the period's over. But he gets his sixth from Eichon and Lauko on the power play. And then the second period, I mean, just from that Lyle goal, straight forth, it was all Providence Bruins. You know, they went into the locker room after the first period, and really worked things out together. Probably got some veteran leadership from Tommy Cross and a bunch of other guys in the locker room, and obviously Jay Leach. I had some inspirational thoughts about what he saw and what needs to change, along with Trent Woodfield and Ryan Mulgren. I'm sure that they added input too. So, but they came out in the second period and just really owned the rest of the game. Robert Lantoshi scores two goals in the second, at the one, his seventh at the 2:25 mark, assisted by Yuna Kapanen. And then at the 9:32 mark of the second, he scores his eighth from Lauko and Brady Lyle. Zach Sinishin starts off the third period in fashion. 27 seconds in, he gets his sixth from Sidnika and Vakanainen. And Paul Carey, Captain Paul Carey, gets his second at the 10:39 mark of the third, assisted by Cameron Hughes. And to end the scoring, sorry for the cough, to end the scoring in the third period at the 14:43 mark, Edwards Trail Marks scores his second of the season as a new Bruin that joined the club a couple of weeks ago, a former University of Maine forward and best friend with Jeremy Swayman. So he gets his second, and that was it. The Providence Bruins beat up on the Utica Comets 6-2. Kyle Kaiser gets his third win of the season. He stopped 25 of 27 shots and has looked really good in his rise to the American Hockey League, covering while Vladar, Swayman have made trips to Boston to, you know, to be the backup and so on. So it's a whole upshift, and you know, Kaiser, it's been tough for him last season. I talk about this all the time, the concussion issues in the OHL, the concussion issues in the American Hockey League and the East Coast Hockey League last year that really stepped back his development a little bit. Goes down to Jacksonville, the East Coast Hockey League this year. I think he had a 7-7 record. His goals against average was approaching 4. His save percentage was 915, 910, something around there. and then comes up. And but the Jacksonville Icemen are just not structurally a good team. So it's really hard that, you know, a lot of mistakes in front of him are getting, you know, taken. He's getting taken advantage of because that's really bad terminology. I'm sorry. But I think he's been playing decent. You know, that's what you want from a developing goaltender. You want to see shots. You want to see different opportunities, and you work on stuff like that. And his rise to the AHL to fill in has been great. I mean, once he sees a better structured defense in front of him, man, this kid is really good. I mean, he's locked in on square to the puck, tracks the puck well, good positioning, good athleticism, you know, and I think that he's still involved in, you know, discussions next year to be a full-timer in the American Hockey League, which is not a bad thing. So, but that's pretty much it for the Providence Bruins. Like I said, they have 6 games left. Not sure what's going to happen with the Calder Cup playoffs. I've been listening to Around the A hockey podcast with David Foote and Patrick Williams. Those guys do a fantastic job when it comes to, you know, your American Hockey League news and all these, you know, manager meetings and GM meetings and blah, blah, blah. You know, they give a great update, but they every week they come on is still, we haven't gotten any closer to any word on what's going to happen. So it with 6 games left, especially in the Atlantic, and even Patrick Williams said on this week's program of Around the A that one division in the American Hockey League is probably just going to not, even if they were going to do a playoff, they were going to opt out. I don't know about the logistics and everything to that conversation, but it just seems the 3-team division just doesn't work out. And I know my friend Tim Richardson has mentioned that you can go by win percentage and so on, but it's still just a very awkward thing when you look at a team that's played 26 games and a division that's played 40. So it's going to be tough, but regardless, if they don't handle a Calder Cup, that's 2 years in a row now. And the American Hockey League is on track to start in early October. Or early to mid-October, much like the NHL. So once we get back to normalcy, get some asses in the seats, and these club owners can start making some money, it's going to be good. Some news out of the AHL recently was they want to work with a gambling firm. So there's going to be betting on the American Hockey League next season, which is good for revenue stream. You know, maybe some of this internal or the revenue that the American Hockey League is going to get out of gambling can help some of these franchises that are struggling to stay afoot. You know, it's not easy. 12 American Hockey League franchises are independently owned, so asses in the seats are a majority of what they do for business. So, and that's been crippled the past 18 months. So we'll see what happens with that. But if you want to get more American Hockey League news, please follow at Patrick Williams and at David Foote or Footy on the Airwaves, something like that. They do a great job. All right, let's finish up this hockey podcast, this quick hockey podcast, this solo hockey podcast that I did with our Patreon winner. Now, you can go and you can win a hand-signed jersey from a current player in April this month. Actually, last week, we gave away a hand-signed jersey. It was a Charlie McAvoy jersey, and that one went to the Bruins Luchador. I sent that out last week. I haven't heard it, if he's got it, but there was 2 other winners of our weekly prizes, and there was a hand-signed pucks, one from Rick Middleton, and the other was Johnny Vucic. So Lauren Campbell and Catherine DeFrank both got those weekly winners, and the jersey for the month went to the Bruins Luchador. You can see him whoring it up on the TD Garden Jumbotron all the time. He's a good dude, and he's just one of those awesome fans that hype up everybody. But if you want to get involved, it's just $1 per episode. So we do 4 episodes a month, so it's like $4. Sometimes we'll do extra. We might even go to $6 a month. It's a real small investment for a real nice jersey and hand signed, and it's all legit from Bruce Sullivan and the Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia Company. So get involved in that. But this week's winner of the Gary Doak hand signed Boston Bruins puck goes to my friend, Cody Stevens. So, Cody, congratulations on that. Thank you for everything that you do. This guy spent a ridiculous amount of money on our Fanatics banner, buying Bruins-related stuff. I mean, I think it was like close to $500, if I'm not mistaken. So shout out to Cody for that, and also the weekly contributions of the dollar that you that he contributes to the Patreon account that we have. So check it out, patreon.com/blackandgoldhockeypodcast, and we thank everybody. We have 50 Patreon members now, and it's unbelievable. So you guys are amazing. You're helping keep the lights on in this place. You're helping to buy new equipment. You're also helping to produce more things to give away. So half of what is donated goes into more stuff to give away. So I'll be getting in contact with Bruce Sullivan of Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia soon about some new jerseys that he explained in our previous commercial. So things are happening quickly. So also, we're looking for writers. We're looking for podcasters. If you want to get involved in our Black and Gold Productions sports media company, please send me an email at blackandgoldproductionsllc@gmail.com, and we'll talk and let me know what type of digital media you want to do, and if it'll be a fit here. We'd certainly we don't shy away from people reaching out and seeing if they have some skills that we could use. So, you know, can't hurt to ask. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for the quick pod. Sorry, it's not normally we do a 2-hour program, but just things didn't work out this week with plans. So I had to do it solo. And I'm not very good at solo shows. But anyway, thank you very much for listening. Thank you for the downloads, the retweets, the shares. You guys are all amazing. Family, friends, supporters. Again, just please stay safe. We're getting there. We're getting closer to normalcy. Shots are being readily given away. The percentages are going up, and we're getting there. So I'm Mark Allred, and I'm host of the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast, and I just really want to say thank you to everybody for the support, and we will talk to you next week, hopefully with a guest or somebody else to talk to. But anyway, take care, be safe, and peace out.
Thanks again for listening to and supporting the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Please share the show with your friends and family, and don't forget to subscribe to and leave a 5-star rating for the show on your favorite podcast platforms such as Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Between shows, help us keep the Bruins talk going by visiting our website, blackandgoldhockey.com, by sending an email to blackandgoldhockeyblog@gmail.com, and by following the show on Twitter @blackandgoldpod.
Peace out.